City by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Thanks, Dave. It's time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. On today's program, stories from the FBI. In the second half of today's program, this is your FBI with the walkie-talkie stick-ups. But first, it's Gangbusters. Gangbusters grew out of an earlier show called G-Men, which was first heard on NBC for Chevrolet in 1935. The program came about when Phillips Lord talked NBC into developing a thoroughly authoritative pilot series about the government's war against crime. Lord sold his idea to Chevrolet and then flew to Washington, D.C. to gather the official blessing of J. Edgar Hoover. Hoover agreed to let Lord use FBI files on closed cases, provided, of course, the Bureau could review the scripts, and the new series was off and running. In 1948, the show switched to CBS for General Foods, which carried it on Saturdays until 1953. Gangbusters was last heard on the Mutual Network in the 1955 through 57 season for various sponsors. So now, let's step back in time to October of 1948. It's Gangbusters with Incorrigible Killer, another classic show from the golden age of radio on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement department throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case history.
Tonight, Gangbusters presents the case of the incorrigible killer who broke out of prison, then broke back in, only to find that when the brakes run out, the penalty is death.
Here with us in the studio tonight is the Honorable Paul B. McNutt, former High Commissioner of the Philippines and Vice President of the National Probation and Parole Association, will be heard at the end of the program, drawing from tonight's case conclusions of vital importance. Gangbusters has asked Chief of Police L. R. Greason of Reno, Nevada, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Now, Chief Greason, you've told me that the killer in tonight's case was probably the most extraordinary in your experience.
Well, that's absolutely right, Don Gardner. I've been a police officer 15 years, and I've talked with hundreds of men and women who are guilty of crimes ranging from chicken theft to murder. But this man, well, you'll see what he was like. Suppose we begin exactly a year ago on a cold, dreary Sunday morning in the city of Tacoma, Washington. The vestibule of a small church not far from Tacoma's business section, a young man with piercing brown eyes and thin lips stood watching the congregation file out at the completion of services. It was evident that he was looking for a particular worshiper, and after a few minutes, he saw him.
Hello, Rick.
What?
Where are you going?
Dave.
Who were you praying for, me?
This is the surprise of my life, Dave.
Is it? Let's go over there out of the crowd.
Look, Dave, I got some people waiting at home.
Oh, come on, kid.
Yeah, okay.
So it's the surprise of your life, huh, Rick?
Yeah, I thought they gave you 5 years.
Wasn't there nothing in the papers about my breaking out?
No, I didn't see anything.
Guess I'll have to speak to my press agent.
Honest, Dave, I gotta be going. I'm
What are you worried about, Rick? Look, if you're worried because you think I know you shut your mouth off when the cops picked you up, forget it. I know you were on a spot.
I couldn't help it, Dave.
Didn't I say forget it? Every guy's gotta save his own skin. I only got 5 years out of it. What's 5 years? They put you on probation, I hear. Is that why you go to church? You wanna make an impression?
Yeah, I want to make an impression.
You're a smart boy, Rick. You mean there wasn't a thing in the papers about my busting out?
No.
At least they should have told you, Rick. After all, they might have figured I'd be out to get you, since it's on account of you I was in.
I told you I couldn't help it, Dave.
You know I'm not the kind to carry grudges, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, Dave. Well...
What's your hurry? I waited a long time for you, Rick. We can have a few words for old time's sake, can't we?
I told you, I got some people waiting.
You know something, Rick? I've been a lot of places since I broke out. Salt Lake, Butte, Seattle, Denver. Did all right, too.
Did you?
Well, I got about $4,000 in my pocket right now. You figure it out. Now, I'm planning another tour. How'd you like to come along with me?
Look, Dave, I got a good job now.
And you go to church every Sunday.
Was there anything wrong in that? I got a break and I want to stay out of trouble.
I got a break too, didn't I? 5 years.
Look, Dave.
I've been working alone. I gotta have an outfit. You sure you ain't interested in me?
To be honest, Dave, no.
There's nothing I like more than an honest guy. Okay, I'll get my outfit. A couple of guys back there, when I broke out, I promised them I'd come back for them.
You're kidding.
Well, I broke out of the place. I can break back in to get them, can't I?
Yeah. If you want, I guess so.
I'd much rather have you, Rick.
I'm sorry, Dave. I told you I got people waiting.
Okay. Come on, we'll walk out together. Pal. What do you say we meet someplace later, after you get rid of your people?
Why?
Talk over old times, so I can get the news. After all, I've been away a while.
Okay, Dave. Wherever you say.
How about the hut? Is 2 o'clock okay?
All right. I guess I can make it.
Sure you can make it. If I let you, you'd have had at least 40 cops there for company.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean, rat.
I don't know.
I hope you said good prayers in there.
Dave, don't shoot me. Please don't shoot.
Oh. Rat.
Well, Don, Tacoma police had no difficulty fixing the guilt in that shooting. But the escaped convict, David Blackwell, was not to be found. One midnight, less than a week later, two trustees were on all-night duty in the prison power plant of the Monroe Reformatory from which David Blackwell had escaped. Then the lone guard left them to go to the power plant office. One approached the other for a chat covered by the hum of a large generator.
Blake.
Yeah?
Is it clear?
Yeah. Come on, behind the dynamo.
You know, we gotta watch our step, Blake. That guard will be back any second.
Relax, will you? Got a half an hour of paperwork out there.
Well, look, what's on your mind?
Listen, you want to crack out with me, let's get started figuring the way. Else I'll look for somebody else.
Well, didn't Dave say he was coming back for us?
Forget Dave, will you?
Well, he said he was coming back to get us out, didn't he? Promise.
That was just so much mouthwash. He's out. Do you want to mess around this joint for him so they can nail him, stick him back in?
But he swore up and down.
Sure, before he made it. You got out, and we'd find you closer than 100 miles to this place.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So if we're going to make it, we've got to figure our own way. Can't depend on Dave or anybody else. We got...
What's that?
Oh, no, you got me. Came from there.
The guard. Maybe it's the guard.
I'll be a dope. There, behind the switchboard. Come on.
Listen, that officer could... Dave!
Who'd you think it was?
How did you get back in here?
Same way I'm going to get you out.
Tonight?
Sure, tonight. What do you think I'm going to do? Go knock on a warden's door and ask him for a place to sleep?
Well, how do we do it?
I came over the wall with a rope and a grappling hook. We get back over the same way.
Okay, let's go.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
They got guards on the wall, machine guns.
It didn't bother me coming in to get you.
Yeah, but look, Dave.
Do you want to come or don't you? Make up your mind in a hurry. I don't want to take up residence here again.
Well, if you think it's okay, Dave.
Sure, it's okay.
All right, come on. Let's go. Before that guard gets back in here.
There's one thing, Blake.
Yeah? What?
This ain't out of the goodness of my heart, you know.
We got no dough, you know it.
I don't want dough. I just want you guys to stick with me.
Oh, sure, Dave, I'll stick with you.
It's not going to be any joyride, you know. I got some heavy things in mind. A lot of hard traveling. Well, Blake?
All right, that suits me.
Come on. Open up and take a look around.
See anybody.
Okay, head for the wall, right at the drinking fountain. That's where I got the hook and rope. Go on. Right against the wall.
Hey, there's a guard in that tower. Watch it.
Stay flat against the wall and get the hook. Where did I... Yeah. Okay, I got it. Now listen to me. There's three of us. We can only make it one at a time. Go up fast and quiet.
All right, go on. Throw that hook up.
I hope it catches.
It will, don't worry. Here goes.
It's over.
Then we pull it tight.
Easy, Dave, easy.
think it's okay. Watch this. Didn't catch. Oh. Right against the wall. Stay there.
I try it again, Dave.
That thing might never hold.
It got me inside, didn't it? It'll get us out. I'll take another shot at it. There goes.
Now pull it tight.
Looks like it's gonna be okay.
It's holding.
Okay, Arnie, up you go. Lay flat on top of the wall.
Yeah. Make it snappy.
He's up.
Okay, Blake, you're next.
Yeah, I don't need to be coaxed.
Hurry. Hurry up.
Yeah. Come on, Arnie. Give me a hand.
Yeah. Grab hold.
Yeah. Oh, we're making enough noise here to turn
it off. Will you shut up?
Come on up, Dave.
Yeah.
Move over.
And stay down. Car's parked right over there through the brush. We'll let the rope down the other side.
Uh-oh.
Stay down.
The floodlights.
Hurry with the rope, Willie.
Forget the rope. It's only about 15 feet. Hang down and let yourself drop.
I can't jump that.
Hang down like this. Let yourself drop.
All right, watch out. Here I come.
Come on, Arnie, come on.
Hey, listen, I
come on.
Okay.
Are you okay?
On my leg.
You can make the car. Let's go.
Come on,
hurry.
But why Reno, Dave? Tell me. Reno's over 1,000 miles. There ought to be someplace closer we can light.
I say it's Reno, and that's final.
Well,
after all, Blake, he got us out, didn't he? Dave wants Reno, I say okay. Any place he wants.
Well, I just want to know what he's got in mind.
I got plenty in mind. Only the first thing is for you two to get rid of those monkey suits.
Yeah, that would help.
We ought to be over the line into Oregon by the time the store's open. I'll buy you some clothes there.
Yeah, what about guns?
I got a couple for you in the trunk.
No kidding, Dave. Hey, this is sure white to you, everything.
Don't worry about it, kid. You'll pay me back with interest.
So, Don, the criminal David Blackwell broke back into prison and delivered two of his prison mates from Monroe Reformatory in the state of Washington. The three of them headed immediately for Reno, Nevada, where they planned to spin the wheels of chance with their lives in the balance. They placed their bets, and the wheels stopped on red. Blood red.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, Chief Greason, that three escaped convicts led by David Blackwell headed for Reno, Nevada, where Blackwell promised them a spree of robbery and plunder.
Oh, that's right, Don. On the afternoon following their arrival, the three criminals were sitting around a table at a bar on Center Street, their conversation covered by the music from a jukebox and the gaiety of the resort town crowd.
What is your rush, Dave? We drove 1,000 miles. I've been cooped up 2 years. Reno ain't such a big place, you know. I want to enjoy it a little before we get red hot here.
Ah, Blake.
You didn't come to enjoy the sights, Blake. I can't keep this now, though, to the two of you. You got to earn some.
Well, give me a chance to get my bearings. How about it, Arnie? Don't you think we ought to do a little relaxing first?
Well, I'd like to, but Davis got a point. After all, he came and fetched us. We ought to do what he wants.
Look, do you think because he came after us, I'm going to bow and scrape all my life? If you do, think again.
Nobody's asking you to bow and scrape all your life, but we're going to get that job done this afternoon.
Come on, Blake, be reasonable, will you?
Okay, have it your way, Dave.
That's the only way I will have it.
Well, what is it you got in mind, Dave?
There's a saloon down the street. Charlie's, it's called.
What's in a saloon? You want whiskey, buy it.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut and listen.
Yeah, Blake, cooperate a little, huh?
Okay, let's have it.
It ought to be a cinch. We use the new car. You stay behind the wheel, Blake. I'll go inside first. I'll play the slot machine.
What about me?
A minute or so later, you walk in, Arnie. You go to the far end of the bar by the piano player. I'll walk up to the barkeeper and ask him for more change. When he opens the register, pull out your heater. Okay?
And if I didn't like it, so what?
It's okay with me, Dave.
All right, let's finish up our drinks. Then we'll hit Charlie for a touch.
Captain Geach.
Sergeant Glass, Captain. You know that Buick with the Washington plates we found parked on Sierra Street?
Yes, what about it?
Well, Washington State Police just answered our wire. It was stolen in Seattle last Sunday.
Oh?
Well, that's not all, Captain. They add the car, maybe the one that was driven by some escaped convicts, broke out of Monroe Reformatory up there night before last.
Have there been any cars reported stolen here in Reno since we found that Buick?
No, Captain. Nothing's been reported.
And there's a good chance those guys may still be in town.
Washington police sent along pretty good descriptions of them.
Okay, Al. You get a hold of Cowan and Reed. Between the three of you, check all the hotels. See if you can turn them up.
Yes, sir, Captain. Right away.
Hey, barkeep.
Right with you, buddy.
And will it be, buddy?
Give me some more quarters for this.
I'll give you a tip about that slot machine, buddy. That's where the house.
Give me the quarters.
Okay, but don't say
okay,
I didn't...
Okay, everybody, get him up.
Hey.
He said get him up.
Okay, take it easy.
Tell that piano player we want music.
Go on, play the piano. All of you, don't move.
Get what's in the till, pal.
Right.
And none of you move.
Hey, boss, it's loaded with dough.
All right, grab it and let's get moving.
It's two big bags of silver.
Okay, throw one on the bar. I'll carry it. Stay still there, mister. You're asking for trouble.
Here you are, boss.
Okay. Let's go out the back.
Yeah.
Come on, make it snappy. Go check the back door.
Right.
Now listen, all of you. Stay still 5 minutes. Don't move. And you, keep that piano going.
Come on, boss.
Right with you.
Yes, Al?
Stick up Charlie's Cocktail Lounge in South Virginia Street.
Oh?
Two guys inside and apparently a third in the car. They got nearly $2,000 in cash. Nobody saw the car.
You think those are the same ones who abandoned that stolen Buick? The Washington escapees?
Well, the second man in the deal answers the descriptions, but the one giving the orders was a six-footer. Then they apparently had a third one waiting in the car. We only got a report on two escapees.
There was a Chrysler reported stolen a little while ago.
Well, yes, Captain, I heard about that. Nobody in the neighborhood remembers seeing a Chrysler pull away.
All right, let's go on the basis that it is these Washington fellows. And get busy on that hotel check. If these boys haven't flown out of town already.
Who is it?
Who do you think it is? Open up.
It's Dave.
Okay, Dave, just a second. Come in, come in.
Well, I've been nosing around town a little. Hello, Blake.
Hi.
Did that little job cause much talk?
Sure it caused talk. And we're hotter than beer at noon.
Do you think so, Dave?
We're not hot.
Oh, no? This is the biggest little city in the world, but it's still little. I say we ought to pick up another car and get out of town as fast as we can.
We'll get out of town, all right. We'll get out of town after we knock over one more joint.
Are you kidding?
Would I be saying it if I was kidding?
What are you trying to do, get us nabbed? We should have been on our way as soon as we knocked over that saloon. We had no business staying holed up in this hotel.
Have you said your piece, Blake?
Blake, you shouldn't fly off like that.
Well, this is stupid. But I don't like something I speak out.
It's a good idea. Always speak out. I always want to know what's on your mind. But we take the other joint.
Now, listen.
Blake, cut it out, will you? Didn't he crash us out? Didn't he risk his neck to do it? We ought to listen to him.
Okay, I'll listen. But because I listen, it don't mean I'll do.
If we pulled another deal, they couldn't want us any worse than they want us now, could they?
We ought to be on our way. Cops catch up with us, I'll have time in Nevada plus time in Washington. Why invite trouble?
If a cop catches up with me, only one of us is going to walk away from it.
Oh.
Hey, what are you talking about, cops catching up with us? I don't even want to think about it.
This new deal is more of a cinch than the last one.
Yeah, they're all a cinch. Till you get nailed.
And we kiss Reno goodbye tomorrow morning.
I got your word for that?
Didn't he tell you?
You got my word.
Okay, what's it all about?
There's a place on East 4th Street, U.S. Highway 40 Tavern, they call it.
Yeah, I remember seeing the place when we drove in.
The cash paychecks are loaded with cash. We'll take them at midnight. Okay, we'll make the touch.
And blow Reno in the morning.
Yeah, and blow Reno in the morning.
Captain Geach.
Hello, Captain. Sergeant Glass reporting.
Glad you called, Al. Highway 40 Tavern was just stuck up with the same guys. Now,
Captain,
I want you to get...
When did it happen?
Well, about 20 minutes ago. Why?
I'm calling from the lobby of the Carlton Hotel. There's three guys checked in here. Two of them answer the descriptions.
in their room during the last hour or so?
No, Captain. They just walked in the lobby a minute ago and went upstairs right before I called you. They were in a hurry.
They could be the ones, huh, Al?
I'd give odds they are.
What's the setup there?
They've got a two-room suite on the third floor, and there's only one door to the suite. It's far enough away from a fire escape.
Okay. You stick around the lobby there. I'll bring Colin and Reed over, and we'll give you a hand. If they try to leave the hotel in the meantime, pick up all three of them.
And if they don't?
We'll give them a chance to get asleep. Then we'll wake them out of their slumber.
Arnie.
Yeah. What do you want, Blake?
A couple of words with you, that's all.
Oh, I can't wait until morning. I gotta hit the sack. You know, Dave has got the right idea. Get plenty of sleep. That's what I'm going to do, too. And then I'm going to...
Sit still a minute, will you?
Oh, what is it?
Now look, I got a sneaking hunch Dave wants to pull a third job here in Reno.
Oh, now, you know that ain't so, Blake. He promised we'd pull out tomorrow the first
day. Yeah, he promised. But something tells me he's got other ideas.
Well, that's the way he wants it. I ain't been doing so bad stringing along with Dave. Well, good night, Blake.
Sit still a minute.
Hey, look, I'm asleep on my feet. Blake, what do you want?
If he says another job here, you're with me. We pull away from him.
Pull away from him?
That's what I said.
Yeah, but he knows what he's
maybe,
doing.
Maybe, but he don't know when to stop. I did enough time. I'm not risking doing any more.
Blake, you gotta have... Hey, who's that?
Get it down.
Cops. You don't think it's cops? Maybe we ought to wait, Dave.
Get Dave. Get your gun out. Get behind the door.
Yeah, but if it's cops...
If it's cops, Dave can't help us. Now, come on.
Listen, Blake. Dave.
Shut up. Yeah? What do you want?
We're police officers. Open up. Open up.
Okay. It's the idea, mister. We got
to...
I'll tell you what the idea is.
Watch it, Captain. There's one behind the door.
Come on, man.
Hey, look out. Come here, you.
Let go.
Watch
me.
Shoot, all right. He's going to hold you.
He's out.
All right, mister. Talk and talk fast. Where's the other one?
What other one?
Come on, where is he?
Okay, he's in there asleep.
You're sure he's asleep?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see. Where's the light switch in there?
It's right inside the door, on the right.
Colin, Reed, watch these two.
Got you, Captain.
Glass, let's go.
Right with you.
Okay, you open the door. I'll reach in for the light.
Yep.
Sound asleep. Come on over to bed. Let's pull back the covers.
Watch him, Captain. He's not asleep.
You said I'm not. That ought to hold you two for a while.
Everything okay?
No, it ain't okay. Here's one for you.
Why, you...
Now, settle down.
Take it easy, copper. I'm through. We're dead.
You said it. You're through. Reed, get an ambulance. Get two of them.
And that, Don, was the disastrous ending to this case. Two heroic Reno police officers, Captain Leroy Geach and Detective Sergeant Alan A. Glass, were shot and killed by this desperate criminal, David Blackwell. Blackwell himself was shot, but he recovered from his wounds and went on trial on first-degree murder charges a few months ago. He was convicted and sentenced to death in the Nevada gas chamber. The other criminals, Arnold J. Thomason and James Blake, received maximum terms of 50 years each in the Nevada State Penitentiary.
Well, thank you, Chief Greason, for telling us this case history. And now, Gangbusters is privileged to present the Honorable Paul V. McNutt, former High Commissioner of the Philippines and Governor of Indiana, speaking as Vice President of the National Probation and Parole Association. The Honorable Paul V. McNutt.
We have heard a dramatic story, a tragic story. In one form or another, it is a story all too common in America today. What can we do about it? Law enforcement? Yes. Efficient police work is essential to protect you and me and all of us. But we must do more than catch criminals and send them up. We must prevent crime. We must do everything possible to reclaim young offenders before they become criminals. Firm guidance from understanding judges and probation officers and from parole officers in cases involving parole can help to avoid lives of crime and tragedy. Trained men and women, such as the members of the Western Probation and Parole Conference who have heard the program in Phoenix tonight, are needed in every court dealing with young and first offenders. To provide such guidance, to assist those skilled and sincere workers with beginners in delinquency, the National Probation and Parole Association is working today through its offices from coast to coast with trained specialists in the field of crime prevention. It is a non-profit organization supported entirely by voluntary contributions, and its services are available to your community. It's ready to help you and your courts and probation officers, the agencies in your town. And in turn, it needs your help and support to carry on its great work. If your community needs help in these matters, or if you can help the association in its program, get in touch with it. The National Probation and Parole Association, with offices in San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. Here is its platform: effective treatment of delinquency and prevention of crime throughout America. In short, protection for you and a square deal for youngsters in trouble.
Thank you, Paul V. McNutt, for this message of vital importance.
Next week, the case of the war crime bandit who used the tactics of the wartime underground to rob her victims, but who found that in peace as well as in war, the loser's penalty is sure.
Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss, directed by William Sweets, with Ken Lynch and John Larkin in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
From October of 1948, it's been gangbusters with Incorrigible Killer. In a moment, this is your FBI with the walkie-talkie stick-ups as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
This is your FBI. The second long-running show using the FBI as thriller material came to the ABC Blue Network in April of 1945. The program was created, produced, and directed by Jerry Devine, a former comedy writer who had worked for Kate Smith before going straight and turning to thrillers. Devine prepared well for the program. He attended the FBI School for New Agents, then got J. Edgar Hoover's permission to dramatize from old closed cases using only fictitious names, dates, and locations. Hoover even gave the series a personal send-off. Each episode was told in chronological form with narration overlay. Frank Lovejoy was the first narrator, followed by William Woodson, who became narrator in March of 1948. The program was sponsored by Equitable Life Insurance on Friday nights through 1952, then ran for another year on ABC as a sustainer. Here now, from July of 1946, this is your FBI with the walkie-talkie stick-ups, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
This is your FBI. This is your FBI, an official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. Are you one of the 50 million Americans covered by Social Security? If so, have you any clear idea of your rights and benefits under Social Security? Well, there may be a pleasant surprise in store for you, for in a few minutes you'll learn from our sponsor how easy it is to build Social Security into full security. Tonight's FBI file: the walkie-talkie stick-ups. During six horrible years of war, millions of human beings were slaughtered. And today, countless other millions are homeless and starving. All because the younger generations of two nations have been imbued with a savage contempt for the rights and property of others. Had grown up in the belief that the way to get what you want was to steal it. And if necessary, use a gun. Today, the lives and rights and property of American citizens are being assaulted by the biggest army of criminals in the country's entire history. How old are they?
More than one out of five is under 21 years of age. And the percentage is increasing. Last year, the largest number of arrests in all age groups was of boys and girls 17 years old. Boys more or less like those in tonight's case from the files of your FBI. Young Jack Chase, whose crippled leg had long since earned him the cruel nickname Gimpy, spent most of his time in his little workshop in the cellar of the Chase House in Cincinnati. And that's where he was that afternoon when his younger brother Freddie and Betty's running mate, Knuckles Butler, brought him a problem to solve for them.
Can we come in, Jack?
Huh? Oh, sure, come ahead.
Go ahead, Knuckles.
Okay.
Me and Knuckles want you to show us how to work something.
Oh, what do you got?
If you lay off what you're doing a minute, Gimpy, we'll show you.
My name is Jack.
Okay. Look these things over, will you, Jack?
Hey. Walkie-talkie radio sets.
That's right.
They're brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And they got U.S. Army stamped on them, too.
No kidding.
Where did you and Knuckles get these, Freddy?
Well, we got
them. My cousin just got home from the Army. He had them, and we borrowed them. Okay?
Yeah, that's right, Jack. That's where we got them.
I see.
How do they work?
Well, they have to be set at the same frequency first.
Then what?
Well, I'll show you. Let's see. We'll make it 112 megacycles. We'll make the wavelength about 2.5 meters.
Hey, what does that mean, Jack?
Well, it would take too long to explain.
You want to set this other too, don't you?
Yeah. Let's see. There we are. I'll pull out the antenna like this.
Mm-hmm. When you want to talk, what do you do?
Flip the switch over this way.
Well, what about when the other guy is talking?
You flip it back.
I get it. Now, how can we tell if these things are working?
Well, I'll go outside and see if we can make contact.
Okay.
Leave your switch like it is till you hear me.
Right.
This looks like it's going to be real easy, Knuckles.
Yeah.
Do you talk now?
He said wait for him. I ain't going to do
anything. This is Jack. Can you hear me talking, Knuckles? Over.
Yeah, sure. I heard you swell.
Let me say something, huh?
Get away.
Look, how am I going to help you out in that job
Shut
if
up,
you don't...
stupid. The switch is open.
What job is that, Fred? Fred, do you hear me?
He didn't say job. He said joke. We're going to take these things out tonight and have some fun.
Now.
I'm on the roof of the warehouse, you dope. And quit talking unless you gotta warn me about something.
Okay. Everything is still all clear down here.
I found the door to the stairs that lead down inside. The nylons are supposed to be on the top floor, so it oughtn't to take me long. Just keep a watch out for the cops. I'm going down in now.
I won't say another word unless I have to. Go ahead. Going toward the warehouse.
Is it stopping there?
Wait a second. No. No, it's going on by. Whew. Had me scared for a minute.
Next time, stupid, don't holler unless it's real trouble. Now shut up.
That'll be enough, kid.
What?
Don't move and you won't get hurt.
Okay.
I could have got you coming down the steps. I heard you ever since you got in the roof.
Yeah?
I just wanted to see how you were working.
So now you know.
Yeah. Pretty smart. Using walkie-talkies, eh? Now, wait a minute. Don't flip that switch so your pal can hear what's going on. I want to get him, too.
Knuckles, how you doing?
I don't answer him to tell you. Give me that thing. I'll handle the switch and tell you what to say.
Hey, Knuckles, something wrong? Answer me.
All right, now. When I flip the switch, you tell him what I say for you to tell him. You get it?
Sure. I got it.
You get this, too!
Knuckles, are you okay?
Sure, kid. I'll get the nylons and be with you in a minute.
Some 2 hours later that night, in the office of Agent in Charge Revere of the Cincinnati field office of the FBI...
I'm a night watchman down at the Medford Brothers warehouse, Mr. Revere.
You seem to have taken quite a going over.
Yeah, you had a pretty good knock in the head, I guess.
What happened?
Well, I've already reported the burglary to the police, but I thought you fellas might be interested, too.
You say burglary?
Yes, a couple of hours ago. Two kids pulled it.
Kids, huh? There's an awful lot of them getting in trouble these days.
Yeah. Oh, I came to you. I remember reading in the paper this morning about that army stuff that was broken into down on the river docks last night.
Oh, yes, yes. There were some binoculars and walkie-talkie radio sets stolen.
And these kids tonight, Mr. Revere, used walkie-talkies.
What?
And one of them was posted down the street for lookout while the other one come inside by the roof to steal some nylons.
I see.
I should have held on to the one kid I had instead of trying to get him to get the other one inside, too.
That's when you got struck down?
That's right.
Did you get a look at his walkie-talkie set at all?
Yes, it had U.S. Army stamped on it, mister.
You must have been able to get a pretty fair description of the boy, too.
Yes, sir. I'd say he's about 17 or 18.
Oh, just a minute. I want to get Special Agent Niles in on this.
Yes, sir.
And then we'll get to work and see if we can save a couple of youngsters from getting into even more serious trouble than they have tonight.
Hey, Jack.
Oh, what is it, friend?
Has Knuckles been here?
No.
Where is that guy? He's supposed to meet me here an hour ago.
You're seeing quite a bit of him lately, aren't you?
Yeah, why?
He's not a good guy to hang around with.
Now, wait a minute. Since when are you running my life?
I'm just giving you some good advice.
Well, save it.
You know, he was arrested last month for breaking into a candy store over on Front Street.
They didn't hang that job on him. He got off.
Nevertheless, he was guilty, and you know it.
All I know is he's the right guy, so lay off him.
Look, Freddy... My only concern is that he doesn't get you into trouble.
Stop preaching, will you? I can look out for myself.
Revere speaking.
This is Niles, Mr. Revere.
Good, I'm glad you called in.
But I haven't got any lead on those kids yet.
Maybe I have.
What?
A woman just phoned. She'd read about the walkie-talkies being stolen.
Yeah?
Yeah, she saw a kid next door to her house yesterday afternoon using one.
Uh-oh.
The boy has a crippled leg, so he couldn't have been the one who slugged the night watchman.
But he could have been the one who played lookout.
It's possible. Anyway, you better hop out and have a talk with the boy. Here's the name and address.
Come in.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Jack Chase?
Yeah, that's right.
My name is Niles. I'm a special agent of the FBI.
FBI?
That's right.
Well, what are you doing here?
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay. What about?
A walkie-talkie radio set.
Huh?
Do you have one around here?
No, sir. Why?
A neighbor of yours said she saw you using one yesterday afternoon.
Look, what's this all about?
Robbery was committed last night by two boys. They used walkie-talkies. We believe they're the same ones that were stolen from an army warehouse.
I don't know anything about them.
I understand you have a brother.
Yeah, that's right.
Is he around?
No, sir. But I'm sure he didn't have anything to do with it either. We were both home last night when that robbery was committed. I can prove it.
How do you know you can?
Because I
didn't tell you what time the robbery happened.
Well, I don't have to know the time.
I see. Well, Jack, I guess that'll be all for now.
Sorry, I can't help you, mister.
Maybe you will yet, one way or another. So long, son.
Hiya, Freddy.
Hey, what kept you, Knuckles?
I had to wait around to see that guy downtown.
Did he buy the nylons?
Sure.
How much?
$50.
$50? But they're worth 10 times that. You told me yourself.
Look, we're just starting. Wait until we get a rep. Then we can write our own ticket.
We took a lot of chances for a measly 50.
Save the beeps, will you? Is your brother in the cellar?
I don't know.
Let's go see.
Why?
I'd like to clip him for a couple of chisels. Come on.
What do you need chisels for?
How do you think we break into places? Ringing doorbells?
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hi, Jack.
I've been waiting for you, Freddy.
Yeah?
Yeah. And you too, Knuckles.
What for?
I had a visitor a little while ago. He was from the FBI.
Huh? What did he want?
I think you already know.
What are you talking about?
Those walkie-talkies. You didn't get them from your cousin, Knuckles.
Sure I did.
You're lying. They were stolen from the Army.
That ain't...
Shut up, Fred. They were used last night in a robbery at a warehouse. You too committed that robbery.
Gosh, you're crazy.
Oh, no. The FBI tried to pin on me because somebody saw me trying out the walkie-talkies yesterday.
What'd you tell them?
Nothing. Yet.
What do you mean by that?
I'm going to give you both a chance first to go down to the FBI and tell them you did it.
What do you want to do, see your own brother thrown in the clink?
He'll only get in worse trouble hanging around with you. Well, you going to do as I say, Freddy?
No.
Okay. I gave you your chance.
Wait a minute, Gimp.
Yeah?
Where do you think you're going?
You won't confess, so I'm going to do it for you.
Oh, no, you ain't.
Get out of my way.
Are you kidding?
Hey, don't, Knuckles.
Keep out of this.
Oh, Knuckles.
Shut up. That should keep him quiet. Let's get out of here.
We will return in just a moment to tonight's case, which shows how your FBI helps provide national security.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to the FBI file, the walkie-talkie stick-up. In Europe, it was a lawless army of swaggering, arrogant young Nazi bullies who took what they wanted by force and savagely struck down even the helpless and defenseless who stood in their way. In America, today, it is a lawless and rapidly growing army of swaggering, arrogant young bullies who are taking what they want by force. In Cincinnati that day, it was one such bully who struck down a crippled boy. And it was that boy's own brother who stood by and watched the beating. It was early in the evening of the same day that Special Agent Niles of the FBI opened the door to room 21 in a Cincinnati hospital.
Hello, Jackie.
What? Oh... Hello.
The nurse said I could come in. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
How did you know I was here?
I went to your house again a while ago to see you.
What'd they tell you?
That you told them it was a hit-and-run driver that knocked you down.
Well, that's what it was.
Automobiles can mess up a fellow like you're messed up, Jack, but I never knew one to reach out and punch their victim in the eye, too.
What do you mean?
You've got a beautiful shiner.
Look, I gotta just...
Jack... Where's your brother?
I don't know.
You mean he hasn't even been here to see you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure he was here.
Well, then he must have come in and gone out by the window. Nobody in the hospital saw him. Nobody home knows where he is. Nobody at Knuckles' house knows where he is either.
Knuckles?
That's the nickname of the boy who slugged the watchman last night. And your brother has a pal by that nickname. Your folks told me.
Oh.
Why did they beat you up?
Who said they did?
I could tell today that you'd guessed who committed that crime last night, so... When you wouldn't talk, I left you alone.
Now look, mister...
Then you went to Freddy and Knuckles and advised them to confess, and that's when they beat you up, isn't it?
I'm not talking.
Look, you're not sparing your folks or Freddy either, Jack.
What do you mean?
You're letting them in for a much bigger shock later on. You're only saving Freddy for that day when he kills somebody and gets sent to the electric chair. How'll you feel about that, knowing that you could have prevented it?
What do you want to know?
Everything I've said is the truth, isn't it?
Yes.
Then where are they?
I don't know. Honest, I don't.
All right, but you can still help. Maybe you can tell me something about those walkie-talkies.
Freddy.
Yeah?
Do me a favor, will you?
What?
Quit sneaking along the street like you're wearing a convict suit.
I can't help it.
Look, we got here to Louisville okay, didn't we?
Yeah, but...
And nobody knows we're here.
But they'll keep looking, Knuckles.
And when they get to Louisville, we'll be gone. Only guys that stop moving and stop using their heads get caught.
Maybe so.
We gotta get a hangout and case out another job. I've got to raise some dough first. Come on.
Where are we going?
To find a hawk shop.
What for?
I'm gonna hawk these binoculars. Yeah, it'll bring us 20, 25.
Yeah, but what'll a guy think when he sees U.S. Army stamped on them?
He'll know he's getting the best there is, that's all. Let's go.
You send for me, Mr. Revere?
Yes, that alert we put out on the walkie-talkies and binoculars last night has paid off.
Yes?
I just got a call from the office in Louisville.
What happened?
Two kids answering the description of the ones we're after pawned some Army binoculars there about an hour ago.
Oh, then I guess I better start rolling.
Spencer of the Louisville office will be waiting to give you a hand.
Good. All I hope is the kids don't get rid of those walkie-talkies, too.
Knuckles.
Everything's set, Freddy. I got us a job all cased out for tonight. Hey, you look like you're getting ready to go somewhere.
I was just waiting till you got back to tell you.
Tell me what?
I'm going back home.
You're what?
I made up my mind, Knuckles. I'm leaving. Oh.
Now sit down.
Look, it won't do any good to act that way, Knuckles.
Maybe I didn't hit you hard enough.
No matter what you do, I'm quitting.
You can't quit even if I let you.
Why not?
You're up to your ears now, same as I am.
I don't care. I'm going back home and give myself up, and you ought to do the same, Knuckles.
Not me. I'm just getting started, and when we finish this job, I'm heading west.
No, I'm not helping you.
Oh, yes, you are. After tonight, I don't want you. I'll get somebody with some guts. But this job we do together.
Maybe they're not going to pull anything tonight, Niles.
We better wait it out, Spencer.
Maybe they changed their frequency.
According to the brother, they don't know that much about it. He had to set it for them.
Well, our receiver is set at 112 megacycles, too. I wish it would pick up something.
Of course, it's possible they might be doing a job without the walkie-talkies, but
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Hello? Hello, Knuckles?
This is it, Niles.
Shh.
Hello, Knuckles? Answer me.
I told you not to talk tonight unless there was trouble.
But you've been in there so long, I got worried.
I'll be out in a minute. And with plenty, too. Where are you?
Still across the street where you left me.
Hey. How is this for a laugh, Freddy?
What?
I'm getting our binoculars back, too.
That does it now.
Yeah, step on it.
Hello. Hello, Freddy.
What do you say, Knuckles?
I'm starting out the back way now, way I came in. All clear out front?
Yeah. Everything's all clear, Knuckles.
I'm afraid you're wrong, Freddy.
Huh?
Freddy, what's the matter? Who said that?
Special agent of the FBI, Knuckles.
Huh?
I just picked up Freddy outside.
Oh, what is this?
I'm Special Agent 2, and you're both coming back to Cincinnati.
How did you find us?
When we get to Cincinnati, I'll let a certain cripple boy tell you all about it, son. Come on.
Hmm.
Because of his youth and his sincere desire to go straight again, young Freddie Chase was released to his parents and put on his good behavior for a period of 6 months. The boy called Knuckles Butler, however, showed no spirit of repentance whatsoever, and he is now serving a term in a school of correction. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a timely message on the subject of juvenile delinquency from the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Mr. J. Edgar Hoover.
America's crime bill runs into billions annually. If it could be diverted, the standard of living of every family in the nation would be raised. Increasingly, our crime problem is becoming a youth problem. A generation of right living and right thinking could bring crime to a minimum. If all parents would devote only a little more time to their children, learning to know and understand them, influencing them by example, winning their confidences by companionship, and instilling in them a heartfelt respect for the rights of others and for constituted authority, they would be investing in their future happiness and security. It is not too late to capitalize upon the vacation theme, a time when many young people are not thoroughly occupied now that school is out. Your son or daughter, niece or nephew, grandson or granddaughter, brother or sister needs real companionship and understanding. Give them a chance by seeing to it that they have your company during their vacation, and yours will be more meaningful by having them with you. In just a moment, we'll tell you about next week's colorful story from the files of your FBI.
Next week, we will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
The incidents used in tonight's broadcast are adapted from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The role of J. Edgar Hoover was impersonated. However, all other names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight, the music was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner, the author was Frank Ferries, and your narrator was Dean Carlton. Now, this is Carl Frank, and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time on This Is Your FBI.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
From July of 1946, This Is Your FBI with the walkie-talkie stick-ups. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Tune in again next week, and why not invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so.
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.